friends, welcome to Easter Day. It's lovely to have you here listening. And this is the talk for Easter Day based on the reading John 20, 1 to 18. So you may have your Bibles with you. If not, just listen and I will read it to you right now. So it's John 20, 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw angels in white, two of them, sitting where the body of Christ had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was him. He said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. It really is beautifully told, isn't it? I mean, it just is told with a great economy of words. And when you read it, you get an intense sense of reality. I never have a great deal of trouble believing in the miracles. I do believe in the miracles of Christ, because to me, they are all relatively small miracles, most of them, compared to the miracle of making the universe. The God who can make the universe can do anything. But this miracle, really does hit home. Mary, a friend of Jesus, still can't believe that he's dead. She misses him, and so she takes an enormous risk, going out in the dark on her own, going to the tomb. It really wasn't something that was advisable in those days for a woman on her own to do. It was very dangerous. But she takes a risk, and of course we take a little cue from her that sometimes our faith might be risky. When she gets there, the stone has gone. Tells, of course, Peter and John. And they then run to the tomb. It's actually rather funny, isn't it? You can imagine them running, because John, who's much younger, gets there first. He's faster. Maybe Peter was carrying a bit of weight and didn't quite run as fast as the young man. But of course, when he gets there, John is too scared to go in. Although he notices something interesting, that the linen that wrapped the body was neatly put together. Peter also notices this. The linen is left neatly. It's a small detail, but what does it mean? It means that when Christ came back to life, when he was resurrected, he calmly folded up the grave clothes. You know, Christ was in no rush. For him, transcending the laws of nature was part of him. He could do it. And he did it calmly. He didn't rush out. He wasn't frantic. He calmly was raised from the dead, as he knew he would be, and made tidy the area that he'd come from. Mary is weeping, and she meets an angel. And eventually, of course, thankfully, Jesus makes himself known to her. And he does so in the most tender way. He uses her name. He uses her name, Mary. That's what does it, using her name. And of course, you know, if you believe in a God that's very close, he knows our names. He uses our names. And one day, you know, I long for him to say to me, Stephen, as he will say to you, wouldn't it be amazing? Won't it be amazing? Then there's another extraordinary thing. He tells her to go and tell the men. Again, it's easy to miss in our modern day. But that was, again, completely amazing to ask a woman in a society that was very biased against women, didn't really rate them, didn't think they were the carriers of truth, to ask a woman to go and tell all these men what had happened. I think it says something of God's attitude to women. It's rather wonderful. What do we make of it? This story, I think, asks questions about our own story. What's the story of our lives? How are our lives kind of cross-shaped and resurrection-powered? The resurrection makes a mighty claim that death is not the end. I love the idea that in the old Benedictine way, one of the sayings the Benedictines have is this, it's always, they say, we start again. Nothing is ever over with God, not until he calls it over. What looks like a dead end, what looks like a full stop, isn't. And that's certainly the case here. The fact that we, every single person, has opened to them never-ending life means that there's no such thing as an ordinary person. C.S. Lewis knew it in his wonderful sermon, Weight of Glory. He pointed out there's no such thing as ordinary people. The people we see today who are just regular, one day will be bathed, clothed in glory. And so we do well to take each other seriously. I think my main point from this Easter day, and the thing that's most jumped out at me, is this idea of resurrection power. Each of us needs resurrection power. That's the resurrection to go on when things look lost, to go on when we know that things are difficult. And we go on because we know that always we start again, because the offer that Christ has opened up for us is forgiveness and joy and peace and, yes, everlasting life. That's why Easter is so wonderful. That's why we say Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And so, friends, I leave you with this thought, that resurrection power isn't just for the great and the good. Resurrection power isn't for those who find it easy to pray, for the very holy. Resurrection, the resurrection power that Christ has for each of us, is there spread around the world and open because of his grace. So I wish you a happy, beautiful and glorious Easter day. We're thankful that in the end, love always wins. Amen.